Good evening and welcome to the service. And as has already been mentioned, we appreciate those who are visiting, and we have another opportunity this evening to study from God's Word. A lot of times when we are out talking with others about religious matters, the point is made that one church is as good as another. And I hope this evening that we can study this question, is one church as good as another? We can study that from the perspective of God's Word so that we can help ourselves understand what it means to be right with God, and so that we can also talk with others about the gospel. Sometimes we might be at work, or we might be at school or somewhere else in the community and out with friends or so forth, and the question is raised, is one church as good as another? And often the question is asked, either sincerely or insincerely, by religious people looking to be a part of some particular church. And I say sincerely because I believe some are wanting to serve God, they love the Lord, and they're a member of a particular church, and they simply want to make the point that one is as good as another, and I certainly don't want to put anybody down or make anybody feel bad, so your church is fine, and my church is fine, and one church is as good as another. And so I think a lot of times that the question is raised and asked in a very sincere fashion. I think in some cases it may be insincere in that they realize that they don't have the truth, and so they're just simply trying to hold on to something that they were raised in. They really don't have any answer from the Word of God, but they've been a part of this particular religious group, and so the only thing they can come up with is, well, one church is as good as another. And I'm certainly here not to judge motives of anyone. Our purpose is to answer this question from the Word of God. And we have this question asked simply because there are thousands of denominations that exist. And it's just a situation that we have. And because we live in this current situation, this is one way in which all of these different churches are justified. Well, one is just simply as good as another. So we have all kinds of different names. We have Methodist and Lutheran and Presbyterian and Baptist and Seventh-day Adventist and Mormon and Jehovah's Witness and so forth. Different doctrines, different acts of worship, different ways in which churches are organized, different works that are involved, whether it be skate night at the Nazarene Church in Nashville or a carnival or some other kind of work, different kinds of work, different creed books, the Baptist Manual and the Methodist Discipline and the Catholic Catechism and the Book of Mormon and different kinds of books that are printed. Different planes of salvation, and we can certainly go on and on and on. And so this evening I want us to consider the question, and it must be answered from God's Word, not human opinion. A lot of times when this question is asked, is one church as good as another, a Bible is never opened. It's just simply I think and I feel, and some comments are made, and then you go on your merry way. A Bible is never opened. We don't appeal to God. And we certainly need to do that. We need to turn and look at what God's Word says. Have you ever thought about this question, is one church as good as another? Have you ever read in your New Testament where that was ever entertained? Was that question ever asked in the New Testament? Was that point ever made? Somebody says, well, you won't find those exact words used, but that concept is there. Well, I'll even grant you that. Is the concept there? You don't find any of that, do you, in the New Testament? Because we simply have, as we sang in our song, one Lord, one faith, one birth. We have one New Testament church there, and so you just simply don't find all of the churches that we have today. Those came on later. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, a few more introductory matters before we get into our lesson. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we need to understand that in the New Testament times, there was the New Testament church. Later, there would be those who would fall away from the faith. They would fall away from New Testament teaching. They would fall away from being members of a New Testament church. And they would go off and start other things. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, but the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. And so in the first century, we do not have all of the denominations that we have today. We find the first major departure happening around 600 AD, where we find the first Pope being named in the Catholic Church some 500 years after the New Testament. Mohammedism, or what is known today as Islam, is around 600 AD. That was not something that was practiced in the New Testament. Then we have the introduction of several what we call Protestant denominations in the 1500s. Different ones protesting the Catholic Church, and from that, the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterians and Martin Luther protesting. Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. He had been in the Catholic Church but wanted to protest some things, and as a result, a religion was started with his name on it. And so, the introduction of the Catholic Church around 600 A.D., the introduction of Islam around 600 A.D., Protestant denominations being introduced around 1500 A.D., and then there were some religions that were born on this soil after the pilgrims came over and this nation is formed. In the late 1700s and the 1800s, the Jehovah's Witness, about the mid-1800s, Jehovah's Witness and Mormons and other Seventh-day Adventists and other churches that are born on American soil. And so we're looking at churches that gave rise in the mid-1800s. None of these were a part of the New Testament church or the New Testament time. And so this question, is one church as good as another, we find is just simply not raised in the first century because there was no need to raise that question. Those denominations simply did not exist. And so that alone right there should give us some pause if we are a member of some church that is not found in the New Testament. But turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Another way to look at this by way of introduction is to consider the value of the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 20, when the Apostle Paul is talking to the elders there at Ephesus, he says in verse 28, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood." Is one church as good as another? Well, ask Jesus. He's the one that purchased his church with his blood. Ask him. We're going to go to the Word of God this evening. We're not going to turn to human opinion. Stop and think about that. Let's say we come to a potluck. We're going to have a gospel meeting. We're going to get together out the park. We're going to have a potluck. And the ladies are bringing their favorite dishes. And here comes Joyce with that well-known broccoli salad that she makes. And she puts it down there on the table. And I just say, well, you know, one broccoli salad is as good as another. Her first thought is, well, you didn't make it. I'm the one that made that. I put some time into that, you see. And Chris comes up here. He hadn't made anything. And he's saying that one broccoli salad is as good as another. Your first thought is, well, maybe to you, but not to me. I'm not thinking that way. Now stop and think about this. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. What's he thinking about that matter, you see? And so it depends on who you ask. What has happened is we have had all these denominations form, and listen, the ones that formed them, of course they're going to say that. They have a vested interest. They want to defend the church that they started. And so, yeah, one church is as good as another. But there's only one church that Jesus has shed his blood for. And we need to be asking him the question and see what he would answer along those lines. Anyone can come up and say something, well, one is as good as another. But when we ask ourselves that, of course we're going to answer in the affirmative, yes. But when we ask God the question, it's going to be a different answer. And so let's turn this evening to the Word of God and let's notice some things. First of all, when the question is asked, is one church as good as another? I want us to think this evening about what is the starting point for answering that question. I don't know if this is the case with you, but a lot of times when religious questions are asked me and I'm out in the public somewhere, what's the first thing you want to do? You may or may not have really heard the question, but you're trying to think of that Bible answer. And that's fine. But a lot of times the answer is found in the question. If we will stop and think about the question itself. And what I mean by that is the proper answer to this question begins when we understand what do we mean by church. And if we can define that, half the battle or half the question is answered already right there. The starting point is to understand what do we mean by church, because church is defined in many ways today. Are you speaking of the Lord's church, as we just read about here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, or Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus said? Or are we talking about a man-made church? If we can define church at the very beginning, and we can ask the person, what do you mean by church, then much of the discussion is already taken care of. And if you're speaking of the Lord's church, are you speaking of a local church in a particular area, such as in Springfield on Memorial Boulevard, or the local church in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, the church of God at Corinth, or are you speaking of God's people of all time? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. Of course, we're never speaking of a building. Is one building as good as another? The word church is never used that way in the New Testament. It's always used of people. And even our religious friends, when they ask us, is one church as good as another, they're most likely not talking about a building. They're not talking about, is your building better than my building? That even they understand a group of people. But we've got to ask ourselves, what group of people are we talking about? The Lord's church or a man-made church? And if we're talking about the Lord's church, are we talking about God's people in a particular locality or God's people of all time? In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Church here is used for all of God's people of all time whose names are enrolled in heaven, not a particular locality. As we go through this evening's lesson, we are going to be defining what we mean by church. Is it the Lord's church or a man-made church? And if it's the Lord's church, are we talking about a local group or God's people of all time? And so the proper starting point is to answer a question with a question. Jesus often did that in his ministry. So if someone asks us, is one church as good as another? Then your response is, what do you mean by church? You're not trying to evade the question. You're not trying to be sneaky or evasive. But you're trying to get the person, and we're trying to focus in on the proper starting point. What do you mean by church? Church is often used in the religious world, and even by some brethren, in an unscriptural way. And so we have to define what we mean by church. First of all, in the religious world, a lot of folks just simply say that all religious people make up the church. And really, that could be anybody from, you know, Hindu to Muslim to Christian, or just any religious people is the church of God's people. And then some would even narrow that down a little bit. It's not just all religions and even Eastern religions, but it's only those who are among the Protestant denominations. And so when the Lord said that he would build his church, that's not the Jew and that's not the Muslim and it's not the Catholic. It's the Protestant denominations, those who came out of that movement in the 1500s. And so that would be the church of the Lord is the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, and the Lutherans, and so forth. Well, that's not found in the New Testament, as we've already discussed. Those did not exist in New Testament times. And so what do we mean by church? That's the starting point. And then some would say, would even narrow it down even more. Well, no, we're not talking about Protestant denominations or Catholics or Jews or Muslims. We're talking about churches of Christ. That's what makes up the church. Well, we find in the New Testament that is not even the case. It wasn't churches of Christ that made up the church universal. It was individual Christians that made up the church universal. But some among churches of Christ have a concept that all churches of Christ are bound together. And that's why some of our brethren want to try to do things by binding churches of Christ together to do things. Do you remember back in the 1990s here in Tennessee, and even before I moved to Tennessee, we got a flyer in the mail when we were in Texas, the One Nation Under God campaign, where the Church of Christ in over in East Tennessee, over in the Cookeville area, One Church of Christ was going to send the gospel into every home in the United States, the one nation under God. And they needed other churches of Christ to bind together and help them to do that. And they said, we've got to all bind together because that's the work of the church. And so their idea is, the Lord's Church Universal is made up of local churches of Christ. We all have to bind together to do the work of the church. Well, that's an unscriptural concept. Churches of Christ bound together do not make up the Lord's Church Universal. Individual Christians do. And so there are some erroneous and unscriptural concepts of church, maybe among ourselves or among our religious friends. And so that's the starting point. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Very simple. When a person is baptized into Christ scripturally, there were no denominations in the first century. We find in Acts chapter 1 that the people are gathered together in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, the apostles begin to preach on the day of Pentecost. And after hearing that sermon, verse 37, they're pricked in their heart, their conscience is pricked. And our conscience needs to be pricked. We need to be someone who says, I've got to get up and do something. We've got to state that. We've got to act upon that. Men and brethren, what must we do? Beginning to be a New Testament Christian begins in verse 37. My conscience has to be pricked. I'm going to get up and do something about that. Verse 41, they were baptized into Christ, about 3,000. And then in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so I'm baptized into Christ scripturally, and the Lord adds me to His body. We noticed in a lesson recently, last week, turn with me to Acts chapter 9. After that happens, Acts chapter 9, verses 26, 27, and 28, I make a conscious decision to join myself or identify myself with other Christians. And so when I'm baptized into Christ scripturally, I'm automatically put into the Lord's body by the Lord's action. I'm added to His church universal, God's people everywhere of all time. But then I need to make the conscious decision like Saul did, Acts 9, 26 and 27 and 28, to identify myself with other Christians in a local setting. It's really not that difficult. And yet we find today, because of the introduction of multiple denominations, there's this concept that join the church of your choice, which you never hear about in the New Testament, and then one church is as good as another. And so the starting point is to define church. And that is simply a definition of those that are saved. Those that are saved. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Who are the church? People who are saved. A saved, called out body. In Acts chapter 5, as the local church at Jerusalem begins to grow, verse 13, but of the rest dared no man join himself to them, howbeit the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. What is the Lord's church? Those that have been added. Those that have been added to the Lord. How and who has done that? The Lord has done that, Acts 2:47. Upon what? Acts 2:41, baptism into Christ. It's just simply a group of believers that have been added to the Lord. Now, let's answer this question, is one church as good as another? And whenever I hear that question today, I always think of it in the context of, well, but Chris is going to talk about denominations versus the Lord's church, and we're going to get to that, but you may be surprised that there's some other things that we need to think about with regard to this question. In fact, this question is answered yes, it's answered no, and it's answered maybe. And it's not because I'm trying to be less than definitive. It has to do with what we're talking about. For example, is one church as good as another? Well, the answer is yes if you're talking about all man-made churches. If you're comparing one man-made church with another man-made church, the answer is yes. One's as good as another. And that's why we have to ask the person, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about all the churches in Springfield. Well, if you're talking about all man-made churches that cannot be found in the New Testament, then yes, one church is as good as another. The fact is, all man-made churches are equal when it comes to their relationship with God. They're all outside the New Testament. And I'm not trying to be mean or cruel, but that's just the way it is. And so, if we're talking about a man-made church that cannot be traced to the New Testament in its name and organization and creed and that so forth, it can be traced back in history, but not all the way back to the New Testament. If that's what we're talking about, if that's the comparison that we're talking about, then the answer is yes, one is as good as another. And what you need to do is, you just need to pick one that's close to your house. Pick one that's close to your house, pick one that maybe has a nice building or something that's convenient. They might have some facility there that you like. If that's all we're concerned about, then anyone would do. And we might as well just pick one that's convenient. And you know what? That's what a lot of folks do. That's how they base their judgment. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13. Have you ever thought about the religious groups that already existed in the first century? The scribes, the Pharisees, the religious group of the Essenes, they lived out in the wilderness of Judea. The Herodians, the Zealots. Have you ever thought about the religious groups that people were members of in the first century? Why did Jesus come and die on a cross to purchase a church if just any religious group will do? Couldn't you have just been a member of one of those and you wouldn't need a church? Just go be a member of the Pharisees. Go be a member of the Sadducees, speaking of the Jews. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 13. Speaking of the traditions of men, Jesus was trying to point out to these Pharisees that even in their religion, they were making void the Word of God. They were not honoring God. And he says some very strong language, verse 8, "This people honoreth me with their lips." Do you know of religious people today that love the Lord with their mouth? "I love Jesus. I love the Lord." They're constantly talking about Him. "But their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." If we're just simply talking about a religious group that has precepts, doctrines, commandments of men, if we're talking about that which is man-made, then all are on an equal footing. And what is that? Look at verse 13. "Every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up." He's talking about these religious groups. So they're all on an equal footing with God. They're all going to be rooted up. So if that's all that we're interested in being a part of, then just pick one near the house, would be my suggestion. And I'm serious about that. If that's all we're concerned about, save some gas, pick one near the house. They're all equal. They're all equal in that, verse 13, if it wasn't planted by God, then it's going to be rooted up. And so the answer is yes, if we're talking about one man-made church and another man-made church. But let's continue our question. Is one church as good as another? Well, the answer is maybe. If you're talking about a man-made church and a local church of Christ. We say, well, how can that be? Well, Church of Christ on the sign or on the building does not guarantee that that group is walking by the way of God. Some local churches of Christ are no different in concept than man-made churches. They have man-made practices and organizations just like the denominations do. And as years go by, more and more churches of Christ are adding in man-made practices such as instrumental music, and they're taking the Lord's Supper away, such as the Richland Hills Church of Christ out in Texas, and you can take it on Saturday. You don't have to take it on Sunday. And just adding in all kinds of things that come from man. So the answer is maybe. If you're talking about a man-made church and a local church of Christ, that local church of Christ may be not following the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. We have to follow the pattern, not just have the right name on the sign, Church of Christ. Sometimes people say to me, well, you think churches of Christ, you're the only ones going to heaven. And my response to that is, well, let me know which one you're talking about. Which group are you talking about? And then we'll go from there. There are some brethren that are following the pattern, hold the pattern of sound words, but then there's some who aren't. And if we're talking about those who aren't, then they're simply man-made. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man speaketh, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Church of Christ on the sign does not guarantee that we're right with God. Speaking the oracles of God does. And holding fast the pattern of sound words does. Is one church as good as another? Well, maybe. If you're talking about a man-made church and a local church of Christ that has man-made practices and worship and organizations, then no, they're just like the others. If they're following the pattern, then there is a difference. If they're speaking as of the oracles of God, then yes, there is a difference. You see, the question depends upon what you mean by church. Well, I mean Church of Christ. Well, it means, what do you mean by that? Someone who's following the pattern, some group that is following the pattern, or just simply has the name on the sign? Let's look at it another way. Is one church as good as another? Well, the answer is maybe if you're talking about different local churches of Christ. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Somebody says, okay, we've narrowed it down now to just churches of Christ. So the answer ought to be yes. No, not necessarily. And you know what? It wasn't even the case that way in the first century, because in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we read about seven local churches of Christ. They were churches of Christ. They were not denominations. They were every bit a church that wanted to be by Christ. They have the gospel preached to them. They obey the gospel plan of salvation. They are not denominations. They are seven local churches of Christ. But you know what? Some of them are about to have their candlestick removed. They're not living right. They're not doing right. So the answer is maybe. Because we need to know what kind of a local church of Christ we're talking about. Some local churches of Christ, as we're going to see here in just a moment, are not following God's Word. They're not following the pattern of God's Word on various matters. Today, we tend to say something like, well, that's a liberal church of Christ or a conservative church of Christ. It's an institutional church of Christ or a non-institutional church of Christ. Institutionalism, that is, a local church using a human institution to do its work, is not the only thing that we need to be considering. All things Bible-related need to be considered to see whether or not that local church of Christ is following God's Word or not. Some local churches of Christ are right on it with regard to institutionalism. They won't have anything to do with unscriptural practices, but you know what? They might foster sinfulness. Maybe the elders are overlooking some things, and maybe the preacher, he's overlooking some things, and they really don't touch on certain things, and so the membership, maybe there's error in the church. I was talking with Larry this morning about some matters. I know of a local Church of Christ scenario where the preacher, they don't support institutions. This would be what we would call a conservative, non-institutional church. He no longer preaches on heaven. You're thinking, what? Yeah, he doesn't preach on heaven anymore because he has a new view of some things that are going to happen in the end of time. So he doesn't preach on heaven anymore. Well, you see, there are other things that, unfortunately, we're having to ask about and check on. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, to come with me here. What if you were a Christian in the first century and you were living in Asia Minor? You would have seven choices. It's kind of like being in Nashville. You know, I can go to this church, or I can go to that church, I can drive up here, or I can drive down there. You're living in the first century, and you're living in Asia Minor. Okay? And there's these seven local churches of Christ you have a choice to go to. Is your your approach, well, one Church of Christ is as good as another. Really? Would you want to go to the lukewarm Church of Christ at Ephesus? Of these seven letters, two are not condemned. Two are not condemned. Look at Smyrna, verse 8. These things saith the first and the last, who was dead and alive again. I know thy tribulation and thy poverty. And he goes on to encourage them. Do you know that they're not condemned? Would we rather be a member of the Smyrna church than a lukewarm church? Ephesus had some things that they needed to work on. Let me ask you this. Would you rather be a member of the local church at Smyrna, even if it means driving a little bit farther, than being a member of the church at Pergamum? Look at verse 12. The Bible class teaching has the teaching of Balaam in it. Well, they're closer, you know, and Pergamum's closer. And you know, I've been hearing in the Bible class about Balaam and Balak, you know, and I'm not really liking that. But they're kind of closer, and they got a lot of young people. They got young people, and my kids get along with their kids. And, you know, we'll work through that whole Balaam and Balak thing. Well, do we want to subject ourselves to that kind of thing? Turn with me to chapter 2, verse 18, Thyatira. I have this against thee, that you allow the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication. How about this, ladies, guys? We're going to place membership at Thyatira. Now, there's a woman down there. She's going to try to get you to commit fornication. Now, we live close, and they got a lot of young people. Just kind of watch out for the Jezebel thing. There are brethren who say, well, we're close, and we really like this, and we really like that. Now, there are some things there that I'm not really fond of, but... And then we'll go subject ourselves. These local churches of Christ are severely warned, if you don't make some changes, I'm going to come. And with Thyatira, I'm going to come with the sword of my mouth. This is some serious charge. That local church needed some work. Not all local churches of Christ are in right standing with God. Sardis, they would not work. And then look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the other one that is not rebuked at all. But look at Philadelphia. This is interesting. Look at Philadelphia, verse 8. I know thy works. Thou hast a little power. And I've made a point on this before. Well, that's the little old Philadelphia church. And they don't have a lot of young people. They don't have a lot of married couples my age. Thyatira is closer. And I realize that when we go in there, there's going to be that woman. She's going to be trying to get us to commit fornication. And I drive right past that little old Philadelphia church. I'd rather be a member of Philadelphia than Thyatira.
Philadelphia is commended for their faith. And they're upholding the work. Look at verse 10. Because you keep the word of my patience. They were faithful. They were small, but they were faithful. You see, the answer is maybe, if you're talking about different local churches of Christ, just like in Revelation 2 and 3, are all of them as good as another? Well, it depends on which one you're talking about. And it depends upon whether or not they heeded the Word of God and made some changes. Did Ephesus clear up that lack of love? I hope so. Did Pergamum get rid of that teaching of Balaam and Balak? I hope so. Did they take care of in Thyatira that matter of Jezebel? I hope so. And I hope the church at Sardis, who had a name that you are living, but you are dead. Well, I'm going to go to that Church of Christ down there because they've got a reputation of a big crowd, and they always have this and they always have that. But verse 1 says they're dead. They're dead spiritually. They had a reputation, but they were dead spiritually.
I hope that they cleared these matters up. And then look at Laodicea. Laodicea is the lukewarm church, verse 17. But they've got a lot of young people. Or they've got this, and they've got that. And they're close by the house, you see. And when we go place membership there, they're a big group. Now, I realize they're lukewarm.
And that might affect my kids and that type of thing, but we'll worry about that later. We have all that going on today where we have to make some choices. And the choice that we make is that we look at a local church of Christ, even what we call non-institutional, and we look and we examine the things that are going on there. A lot of times things are allowed. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. They were allowing Jezebel to do this. Look at chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. They were allowing this to go on. Well, I don't really like it, but the elders are allowing it. I don't really care for it, but the preacher's allowing it. And it's being allowed in the Bible classes, you see. I'm not really fond of it, but they're allowing it. Well, we need to make an informed choice. And so, is one church as good as another? Maybe. If you're talking about different local churches of Christ, because even as we see in the New Testament, not all of them are right with God. And they need to make some changes. And then last of all, and what you probably thought we were going to focus on this evening, and we definitely need to get to it, and that is the answer is a resounding no. If you're talking about a man-made church today and the Lord's church in the New Testament, it's a resounding no. No. One church is not as good as another. Because Jesus shed His blood. It's the blood-bought church of our Lord. And there's only one. And we can and must be a part of that New Testament church found in the New Testament. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the way that happens is, I am pricked in the heart. I get up. I do something. I come and I'm obeying the gospel, and the Lord is adding me to His church. I am not going to bear any denominational name. I'm never going to pick up a denominational creed book. I don't care about any of that. I'm simply going to be a New Testament Christian. It really boils down to this. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. It boils down to this right here. I am not going to be a member of any church that comes from the wisdom of man, listen to me, including a church of Christ. Do you ever think about that? Why did Pergamum and Thyatira allow what they allowed? They're a church of Christ. Why did they allow that? There was some human wisdom in that church that said it's okay to allow it. There's human wisdom going on there. That wasn't God's wisdom that said to do that. Human wisdom can even be in churches of Christ. And so it's the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. The New Testament church comes from God's wisdom. All of the denominations and churches of Christ that are human in nature, it's all man's wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to be a simple New Testament Christian because I want to be a part of that which exhibits God's wisdom. To the intent, verse 10, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, God wants to make this known throughout the universe, might be made known through the church, not through some denominational man-made church. The Lord's church that was started on the day of Pentecost, through the church might be made known the manifold wisdom of God. It's the difference between going back and being a New Testament Christian, displaying God's wisdom, or settling for less, and just one church is as good as another, and one broccoli salad is as good as enough. They're all the same. Oh, really? Ask Jesus Christ. Ask the one who made it. Ask the one who worked for it. Ask the one who put the effort and the time to do that. God's wisdom says it's the New Testament church. And the only way we can glorify Him, look at chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Him be the glory in the church. Well, what do we mean by church? Well, we mean all denominations. No, that's not what that verse means. That's not found in the New Testament. You have to define church at the beginning. That group of people in the New Testament who obeyed the gospel, who continue to follow the pattern of the New Testament church, that group of people gives glory to God and no one else. And so, no, a resounding no. If we're talking about a church that is man-made in any way, shape, or form, it is not as good, because man's wisdom is never as good as God's wisdom. And when we see in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, men and women trying to act by man's wisdom, we see the absolute and utter failure of that. We see Israel and Judah try to walk by man's wisdom, and we see the utter failure of that. Taking God's people down the path. I don't want to listen to the prophets. God called night. No, I want to go by my wisdom. And just taking them down the spiral to apostasy.
We are going to honor and follow God's wisdom. The Lord's church is one. As we sang in our songbook, there's just one body of people, and we enter into it one way. No denominations were present in the New Testament, but one body. These passages, 1 Corinthians 12:13, were baptized into one body. There is one head over that one body. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23, Jesus is the head of the body. Can you imagine a head that's on top of multiple bodies underneath? We would call that a grotesque monster and just a grotesque figure. But that's what's being trying to be propagated today. Well, we've got one Jesus Christ, but all these different bodies down here. No, one head, one body. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I asked Mason if he would read this evening Ephesians 4 and verse 4. We're coming to the close of our lesson, and then it is yours. Let me suggest one other admonition for you. You ever thought about this? Is one church as good as another? When your friends ask you that, ask them this. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 4. Just fill in the blank, and you can fill it in with anything. Well, is one God as good as... No, we've got to have one God. Well, why is it in verse 4 that we have to have one God, but when it comes to one body, we can have multiple of those? Is one God as good as another? No. We need the God of the Bible. Amen. Is one Lord Jesus? Is one Lord as good as another? Is one Holy Spirit as good as another? No. There's just one of these things. Well, just like there's one of those things, then there's one body as well. Anybody can see that. Ladies, those of you who are married, how about this one? Your husband comes home one day and says, "You know, one bride's as good as another. Come on, man. One wife is as good as another. You on board with that?" No. The church is the bride of Christ. We're joined to Christ. But we're saying, in effect, it doesn't really matter who's joined to Christ. All groups can be. No, there's one bride. In fact, with regard to the Jews of the Old Testament, what were they described as when they left God? They were described as backsliding apostates and whoring, or going after and playing the harlot when they went after someone other than God. You try that with your wife, it's not going to work. Well, honey, one bride's as good as another. And you know what? Even the fundamentalist Mormons, and we see programs on this that's called sister wives, where a man will have five or six wives. Do you know what? Even among them, they want to cut it off. They don't want their husband to have 10. For some reason, they're okay with 3 or 4 or 5. But even they cut it off, because I've seen the documentaries where they'll say, you know, this is enough now. We just don't need any more. Even they, in their own conscience, realize that, you know, you got to cut it off somewhere. They need to cut it off where the Bible cuts it off, and that is one man, one woman for life. But even they understand that there's got to be some limit. It's not just completely open-ended. But we have thousands of denominations today. It's never-ending. And so we understand the truth of these matters. We just simply need to leave denominationalism for that one body of Christ. Or if we've never been a member, come to it. We need to leave any unscriptural church of Christ for the one body of Christ. We need to simply be a simple New Testament Christian joined together on God's Word. Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 20 that we can be one by their Word. It's the Word of the New Testament apostles that unite us. It's the Word of man that hopelessly divides us. Well, the lesson is yours. I hope that this material has helped us not only to understand what we need to be as a member of the Lord's church, because, frankly, we have choices in local churches of Christ to be a part of. And even we need a reminder along these lines. But also, I hope
that it has helped us as we go out in our daily affairs and we try to talk with others. I know that this is a common question that comes up, and I hope that this material has helped us in some way to talk with our friends about those matters. If you're subject to the invitation, the call is for you. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. We're not promised tomorrow. Come and be baptized and be a simple New Testament Christian. Come be a part of that one body. Don't settle for something else. Maybe in the past we've been sold that bill of goods that one church is as good as another. But we know the truth now. We understand the Word of God now. And we're going to come and simply be a New Testament Christian. If you know the truth, act upon it. Be convicted in your heart and make that change. And let's take the material that we've studied this evening to try to encourage folks to be a part of that one body, that blood-bought body of Christ. Think about the agony that is in the mind of God. He sent His Son to shed His blood to purchase a church, and then man is out here just building all their churches. What is going on in the mind of God? Can you realize the sadness and the sorrow and the sickness over that? My son has died, and yet man doesn't care anything about that. They're going to go start their things. And so maybe we can help our friends to see that terrible state and come back to the blood-bought body of Christ. If we can encourage you in any way to make your life right with God, why won't you come as we stand and sing?